Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you on this snowy January morning. I have a couple of announcements to share with you this morning. The first announcement is for members. We are having a very brief congregational meeting immediately following worship today. We have some updates to the nominating slate for 2021. So if you are a member, please plan on attending. Second announcement is deacons. We are going to have our monthly deacon meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. You should have received a Zoom link from me. If you have not received it, let me know after church and I'll resend it to you. Final announcement, so we have Bible study on Thursday at 3 o'clock via Zoom. I think the link that I sent out last week was not the right one, so I apologize for that, and I will definitely send out the correct link on Monday or Tuesday. We are going to be looking at the second half of Genesis. If you need a book or if you need to know what book we need, please let me know after church. I think those are all of the, final announcement. So next Sunday, January 24th, if you are a new officer, we are gonna be ordaining and installing new officers in worship. So please, please, please attend if you are a new officer so that we can ordain and install everybody at one time. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Friends, at this time I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. with me now in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us admit our sin, so that as you come to us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us wave to our neighbors.
Thank you. Can you hear me? I guess you can. That's good. It's great to see so many people out this morning, and it is a sunny day, even though it's a little chilly, so thank you for being here. We do have some prayer requests this morning. Tootsie Maxson is asking for prayers for Billy McDonough, Peggy Adam, and John Paremba. They are family members who are in the hospital with the virus, and they are not doing very well right now, so she's asking for prayers for healing and support for the family. And Jenny Reinhardt is asking for prayers, and kind of praise too, for her granddaughter, Heather. Heather is expecting her first child, and she's due to be delivered in about 10 days. So that's the praise part. She has had a high-risk pregnancy, and Jenny's asking for prayers for a healthy baby and a safe delivery and comfort for the parents, Heather and Albert. So that's exciting. And also, I am asking for prayers for Maya Marquette, who is a 16-year-old girl who is undergoing radiation treatments right now for stage 4 leukemia.
Thank you. I have one additional prayer request to add. So Kristen is going to be taking her polity ordination exam on Friday. In order to become a minister, there are 5 ordination exams you have to take: Bible content, theology, worship and sacrament, polity. I'm forgetting one. What?
Exegesis.
Oh, exegesis. One could argue the most important one. So she's taking the first of 5 on Friday. It's a pretty intense exam. It's an 8-hour exam, and I know she's a little bit nervous about it. So if you could keep her in your prayers on Friday as she's taking it.
Please pray with me. Beckoning God, you invite us to live in your ways, and you give us to each other to know and love as we journey in this life. Show us your will for all of creation. Help us to listen to your urgings with prayerful hearts so that we may honor what you have made. Let us pray for all the earth, the church, and all of those in need. We pray for all people of faith, for the unity of the body of Christ, that divisions might not turn people away from the church. We pray for the world, that your kingdom come and your will be done, for leaders of nations, that wisdom and integrity will prevail for all people. We pray for our nation's peaceful transfer of presidential power. We pray that you tend to the sick and bring them healing, especially Billy, John, Maya, Heather. We pray for those in need, the hungry, homeless, unemployed, or imprisoned, those who live in fear, and those in mourning. And we ask for your strength, wisdom, and safety for those facing particular challenges, especially those taking ordination exams this week. We present our joys to you with gratitude and thanksgiving. Especially, we give thanks for Bev Ruby, who is now home from the hospital, and for the anticipated arrival of a new grandbaby. We lift all of our personal concerns to you now in silence. With thanksgiving, we remember all those who have shaped us in your ways. Receive our prayers and grant whatever you see your people need. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. Thank you. Give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading for today is John 1, 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite, in whom from there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is a reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Sharing the story of Jesus with other people. In the church, we call this evangelism. I think evangelism has become a little bit of a scary word for Christians. And I think that's because we've confused telling other people about Jesus with proving that Jesus exists, which is impossible to do. We can only point to the reality of Jesus at work in our lives. But it also kind of misses the whole point of Jesus. It's up to Jesus to prove that he exists. It's up to us to help other people see the reality of Jesus at work in their lives. Our scripture passage for today tells the story of two men, Philip and Nathanael, and how they came to follow Jesus. I think their story is a good model for how we might tell others about Jesus. Philip was one of Jesus's disciples. Having encountered Jesus, he wants other people to encounter him as well. So when he sees his friend Nathanael, he tells him, "I have found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael is a little bit skeptical. "Nazareth," he exclaims, "can anything good come from there?" See, Nazareth was a village of about 200 to 400 people. Nothing special had ever come out of Nazareth before. So Nathanael concludes that Philip must be mistaken. Why would God choose to come from this unremarkable place? I think what Philip does next is interesting. He doesn't get into an argument with Nathanael trying to prove that Jesus indeed came from Nazareth. He doesn't try to persuade him that Nazareth is actually a wonderful place for the Son of Man to come from. He doesn't recite Jesus's genealogy in an attempt to prove that Joseph is actually from the house of David, so of course the Messiah would be born in Nazareth. He simply tells Nathanael to come and see. Nathanael takes Philip up on his offer. He goes and he sees Jesus. Jesus recognizes Nathanael and he speaks a word of encouragement to him. Immediately, Nathanael realizes that Jesus is the real deal, the Son of God, the King of Israel. See, the thing about Jesus is that once people meet him, they are changed. Because Jesus meets people where they are and reveals the glory of God to them. Then people go and they tell others about their encounter with Jesus. What's interesting to me is that it's actually Jesus that does most of the work of evangelism. We bring people to Jesus, yes, but it is Jesus that turns men and women into disciples. The other thing that's interesting to me about this passage is I think that Philip's invitation to come and see is an invitation for us as well. Because come and see is the best possible way to introduce others to Jesus. Because the Christian faith is one that is passed from person to person. Let me give you a few examples of how I've seen this work. So let's say, for example, I experience God's presence in worship. So the next time the church is having a virtual worship service, maybe I'll send the link to that service to some of my friends and family members who I know are not worshiping right now. Maybe I go to Bible study and I learn about Jesus. So maybe I will send the Zoom link to Bible study to a friend who always asks really good questions about Jesus, but hasn't really made that connection between learning about Jesus and having a personal faith in Jesus. Maybe I experience Jesus's presence when I'm distributing care packages at a local hospital. So maybe the next time I'm at the hospital, I invite some of my CrossFit buddies to come and see. The point I'm trying to make here is what starts as an individual encounter with Jesus can quickly grow into a familial encounter, a communal encounter, and before we know it, a global encounter. I think another reason that we struggle a little bit with evangelism is because we're scared that people are going to reject us. We're scared that we're going to tell somebody how important Jesus is to us, and they're going to blow us off. They're going to tell us that we're taking things too seriously, or they're just going to be like, oh, you're cute. Trust me when I say that I understand this fear. It's hard to tell people about something that is very important to you and risk rejection. But the good news of our scripture passage for today is that it's not up to us to convince others to follow Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. It is our responsibility to point others to Jesus. We are all responsible for creating opportunities where everyone can experience the power and the presence of God. Whether that experience happens in worship, in Bible study, or in a hospital room, our job is to help people come and see Jesus for themselves. I think the other good news about that we can learn from this passage is that when we invite people to come and see, they usually take us up on our offer. Nathanael didn't tell Philip, "I don't believe you found the Son of God, and you're an idiot for believing that." He said, "Nazareth, that's a weird place for the Son of God to come from. Perhaps I better come with you and see for myself who this person is and what all the fuss is about." Philip asked Nathanael to come and see Jesus. Nathanael said yes, and Jesus took care of the rest. I get asked a lot, especially this time of year, "Pastor, how do we bring more people to Jesus?" Usually what people mean by this question is, how can we bring more young people to Jesus? And they don't just mean young people in general. They mean young people who are going to maybe join the church, maybe give money to the church, maybe even serve on a board of the church. Friends, I think if our end goal is to bring more people into the church, then our immediate goal should be creating opportunities for people outside of our church to come and see. And a good place to start creating those opportunities is by building relationships with people that you know that are not connected to a church community right now. As Philip and as Nathanael teach us, evangelism starts by investing in the relationships with the people in our lives, by learning who they are and learning what they're passionate about. It grows by nurturing these relationships. I have to say, despite everything happening right now, I'm really grateful for opportunities to meet new people online during this pandemic. In places like virtual lunch with the pastor, or Zoom Bible study, or interfaith prayer vigils. Because let's face it, there's not a whole lot else going on right now. I found that people are open to attending and sharing things online that maybe they aren't comfortable attending or sharing in person. And it's been really fun for me to see the ways that the church is using this gift of technology to reach people that maybe would never have attended church before. I know I said during Advent that the scandal of Christmas is that God would choose to come from the lowly and the despised. I think in this time between Christmas and Easter, the other scandal that we have to grapple with is that God would entrust the stewardship of this holy mystery to ordinary people. What I mean by this is ours is a faith that must be passed on from person to person. We are all responsible for the continuation of the Christian faith. We are all responsible for inviting our friends, our families, and our neighbors to come and see. Evangelism, then, is not just something that we leave to the people who are good at it, but it is actually an essential part of what it means to be a Christian disciple. Now, I know that for some of us, the idea of reaching out to new people, or perhaps engaging with people we know in a new way, is giving us anxiety. I get that. But I also think that evangelism works when we invite people that maybe we know, maybe not super well, to come and meet Jesus. Friends, I know that evangelism is scary. I know that for some of us, we're nervous about starting it. We're nervous about how people will think or respond to us. But I take tremendous comfort in the fact that most of the work of evangelism is up to Jesus. Our scripture passage for today reminds us that the Holy Spirit is present for us in a special way when we're pointing others to Jesus. Don't believe me? Come and see. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn. We're going to sing Step by Step. We're going to sing through it twice. Reminder, after the benediction, we are going to have a brief congregational meeting. So visitors, thank you for coming. We will hopefully see you next week. And members, please grab a seat after the benediction. Friends, remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.